Well, good morning, church. I'm so glad to see you this morning. Let's start off with some prayer. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, please be with us this morning. Send your Holy Spirit to be amongst us and in our hearts, to convict our hearts of the things that you want to speak through me today. I pray that it will be your words and not mine. And in your name I pray, amen. Imagine with me, you're at the 2012 Olympics. And you're watching the relay race, and you're rooting for your team. Go team, woo! And they're at the almost at the last stretch. It's the runner right before the last runner, and he's got the baton. He's about to hand it over to the last runner. And then you notice there's something wrong with the last runner. He's wearing a ski jacket and pants, and he's got this big backpack on, and he's got crutches, and one of his legs is in a cast. Do you think he's going to get very far very fast? Probably not. We're like that last runner. We're in a relay race as the body of Christ. And it's a race to win people for Christ with heaven at the finish line. Are we ready to run? Or are we weighed down with sins and distractions? Are we injured with jealousy, bitterness, or resentment? To win this race, we've got to follow the instructions found in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So, how do we win this race? Well, what does the verse say? It says, we must first lay aside every encumbrance and sin. And we're surrounded by testimonies of faith. We can see in Hebrews 11, the verse before or in the chapter before our verse, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. It says, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab. And then in verse 32, and what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weaknesses were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, sawn in two. They were tempted, put to death with the sword, went about in sheepskins, goatskins, destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering the deserts and mountains, caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us they would not be made perfect. That was because they were in this relay before us. They've been passing the baton from generation to generation, and now they're passing it to us. And the challenge is, we got to continue this race, not letting anything hold us back. So how do we do that? It says in the verse, we must lay aside every encumbrance and sin. So let's strip off the sins and the things that are distracting us from Jesus. It's like when the runner is running, he's got the bare necessities. He's not wearing a camelback, or he's not got a pack of food on him. No, he's in as little clothing as possible. And as actually in the Paul's day, when he was writing this verse, the Olympic runners weren't wearing anything at all. So it's the bare necessities. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God." So it's those sins that keep us from seeing the goal at the end, from running the race. It might not be an obvious sin. It might not be committing adultery or working on the Sabbath, lying, cheating, or stealing. It might be something insidious. Maybe it's greed. Maybe it's negligence. Maybe it's our love for things or the people that we love more than God. James 4:17 says, "Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is a sin." So maybe it's not so much the things that we are doing or badly, you know, the bad things we're doing, but what we are not doing. So we got to simplify our lives. We're filling it with too many things. Maybe we need to turn off the TV, the internet, the phone, maybe video games. I don't know what it is that may be distracting us, but we need to turn it off. Let's take some time to get back to personal devotions. Pray, read our Bible. Ask God, please show me, what would you have me to do today? What do you want to teach me today? And then you'll find you're in the right place at the right time for the right person with the right words to say. Are we running this race by ourselves as individuals? No, I don't think so. We're supposed to be running together as one body in Christ. Romans 12:5. "So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." We're to be connected to each other like a living body. No part can function alone, just like the heart needs the lungs need the heart, the head has to be connected to the rest of the body needs the head. Each part needs each other. And it's like a runner who, can you expect him to win the race if his heart decides it doesn't want to work? Or it'd be even sillier to imagine the feet running by themselves down the track. Yeah, that's not how it goes. We need to be connected to each other. And when one of us hurts, we all hurt. Just like when a runner has a minor injury, it can affect his whole body and prevent him from running the race. Instead of looking from the sidelines with nosy curiosity or pointing fingers and saying, oh, it's their fault when they fall, when someone falls, we need to go to them, pick them up, help them with their emotional, physical, financial pain. Instead of hurting them, we need to help them. Matthew 18:15 has some really good advice. Jesus said, "If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother." And I might be stepping on some toes here, but it's so easy for us to go to other people before we go to our brother. Oftentimes, we just avoid them altogether. It would just save a lot of hurt and pain if we go to them first, in person, have a loving exchange of biblical ideas, instead of hurling accusations or personal opinions or judgments that we need to leave between them and God. We need to remember, we share the same literal and spiritual flesh and blood with them. 1 Corinthians 10:16 says, "Is not the cup of blessing which you bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which you break a sharing in the body of Christ?" The connective tissue of the body is love, and we must reach out to each other in love. And then, only then, can we reach out as the body of Christ to the world, as his healing hands, to see the lost with his eyes and his ears, and speak the truth to them in love. Okay, so winning the race. We've talked about laying aside the encumbrances and sin. Well, what must we also do according to the verse? We must run with endurance. How do we do this? Well, let's look at the first thing. 1 Corinthians 12:7-10 and 28 says, "But to each one of you is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, different kinds of tongues, another interpretation of tongues. And God has appointed in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and various kinds of tongues. All of these are spiritual gifts meant to nourish the body. Just like a runner has to fill up on carbs the day before the race, we need the nourishment for our spiritual body to function. Otherwise, we're weak and emaciated. So let's not keep our spiritual gifts to ourselves or use them to further our own ambitions within the church, but use them to help each other to be able to reach out to the world for Christ. Not only that, but we must coordinate our efforts. Like the legs of the runner, they have to move right at the right time, the right speed, the right direction. Our efforts in ministry has to be coordinated. Otherwise, we'll fall. We won't be able to run this race. For example, just a small thing, the health ministries, Maybe put out a newsletter for the food pantry, the patrons over there, maybe even bigger, maybe outreach projects for each ministry in the church, each Sabbath school class, each small group, have an outreach project in which they could meet new people they could invite to the evangelistic series in October. These are just some things that we could do to coordinate our efforts. So we must run with endurance by nourishing the body, coordinating our efforts. And then thirdly, we need to remember we cannot stop to argue over differences of opinion. Titus 3:9 says, "But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless." Not only does it waste time and energy to argue, but it's likely to cause divisions within the church. And I also might be stepping on toes here, but I'm speaking to myself too. It may surprise some of you, but there are people who like to argue about issues such as women's ordination, whether or not they should be elders. These are things that might break up the church, and there are people that are taking sides on the issue. Is this attesting truth, something that will determine our eternal destinies? Many scriptural arguments on both sides of the issue, but nothing so clear in scripture as to settle the argument. So let's not focus on what's unclear, but on what is clear. And is not let the devil cause any more divisions in the church. Let's focus on what's important. We need to focus on Christ and reaching people for him. Matthew 24:14, it says, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." We're promised that when we get this job done, Jesus will come back. And the faster we get to it, the faster it will be. And we're not we don't have any more time. We're running out of it. People are dying out there. And we're not guaranteed tomorrow, even for ourselves. It says in James 4:14 that you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. We need to work while we can. So we've talked about two things so far. How to win by putting aside all the sins and encumbrances, by running with endurance, and then most importantly, must fix our eyes on Jesus. He gives us what we need to win. He gives us the will, Philippians 2:13. "For it is God who is at work in you to will and to work for his good pleasure." He gives us the faith from our text, Hebrews 12:2. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. He gives us the love. John 4:19, "We love because he first loved us." Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He gives us the endurance. Not only that, he's the whole reason why we're in this race. It was his mission and goal from Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus is cheering us from the sidelines. He's running along with us, and he's at the end waiting to parade us on his shoulders. And when we get there, we're not going to be thinking about all the blood, sweat, and tears along the way. We're going to be overcome with joy. And in Revelation 21:4, it says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no longer any death, no more mourning, crying, or pain, for the first things have passed away." I know that's good news. He can help us win because he's already run this race and won. Hebrews 12:2 and John 16:33 say, "Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And these things I, Jesus, have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." He's overcome the world. He's already in heaven waiting for us. He says, "All you need to do is believe on me, focus on me, and you will win." John 14:12 and John 12:2 and 3 say, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will also do, and the greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Is this good news or what? I'm tired of this. I'm really tired of this world. And all its pollution, its sin, it's not getting any better. Are you ready to go home too? Then in closing, let's get on with this race. We need to get moving and fast, and we need to strip off the sins, the distractions that keep us from Jesus. We need to start connecting with him and with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Each of us has a job to do, and we must do it with all our might. We've got to work together to reach others for Christ now. We're running out of time, people are dying out there, and we can't sit around pointing fingers or disputing over issues. We've got to get up and run while we can. Jesus guarantees that we'll win if we keep our eyes on him. He's waiting for us. Do you want to make him wait any longer? We must resolve the differences between us and be at peace with one another and with God. If we are going to be in heaven together, we must start practicing how to relate to each other here and now. We have a special Sabbath coming up next week. And we have a time to dedicate ourselves to ministry. Yes, it is especially for those of us who have accepted positions of leadership in the church, but it's also for the rest of us to unite with them in ministry. In the spirit of things, let's each fast, maybe turning off the TV or staying from particular foods, whatever it is, but we need to pray and to be open to the Holy Spirit's leading and to be willing to submit fully to his will. Are you ready to win this race? Are you ready to bring as many people as possible to push aside everything that gets in the way of our focus on Jesus?